We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to bring the message out of the King James this morning. I haven't done that in a while. The English Standard is about my favorite translation, but just a few books before Revelation. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read verses 1 through 11. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed with about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Lord Jesus, before you went to the cross, you prayed that the Father would sanctify us by the truth, and you defined the truth as God's word. I pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, that you will encourage us, lift us up, help us to understand that you love us in all situations, and you are there to build us up and to make us better sons and daughters. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The title of this message, and really the reason why I'm using the King James, I've entitled it Charity in Chastisement. And for definition's sake, charity is the old English word used at the time the King James was translated. And it was used for the word agape. And that is the Greek word for love. And it means love, affection, and benevolence. And it comes from the root word. It means to love much. And it was the word the Christians, the writers of that day, used to describe the love of God, agape. The word chastise means to train up a child, to educate, to discipline by punishment, to instruct, to learn, and to teach. Now, the Hebrew word for chastise literally means to chastise with blows, or figuratively with words, to instruct, to correct, to reform, and to teach. An example of the old English word that translated chastises in Luke 23 in reference to a physical punishment is the Jewish leaders asked Pilate to kill Jesus. We want him condemned. And Pilate said, no, I'll chastise him and I'll let him go. And that word there, of course, referred to the scourging that was used. When the Jews punished you by whipping, they used rods, bamboo rods, willow rods, and the corporal punisher, the guy doing the punishing, you were stripped down and they'd whip you with them rods, anywhere from your heels to your shoulders. And it made welts, great welts, very painful. And it was done to humiliate you, to shame you, and to punish you. Well, the Romans used a scourge, which was a braided whip, and they would braid pottery, sheep bone, glass into those braids. So the beating with a scourge was very severe. And it wasn't just reserved for prisoners. They actually used it on Roman soldiers when they disobeyed orders or didn't carry out orders. The sergeant of arms would scourge them, chastise them, in order to bring them into line. So often when we think of chastisement or discipline, we think of it in that sense. You know, to beat, to lay blows on you. God said in the book of Proverbs, he who spares the rod hates his son. So God said, if you refuse to discipline your son, that's what the ESV says. It means you hate him. And I heard a Baptist preacher several years ago, I think he nailed it on the head. He was preaching on the radio, and he said, I have parents tell me, well, I just love my kids too much to discipline them. And he said, that's not an honest statement. What you should say is, I love myself too much to discipline my children. I love my children more than I love God. I love myself more than I love God because I refuse to discipline. And it doesn't mean you got to beat the fire out of them. It just means that there has to be a form of discipline to instruct. You see, discipline's purpose is for instruction. I read you the definition. And our part is to receive the instruction, to learn. I remember an old couple I used to do yard work for. I went in to get paid one time, and she always made cookies. I got $2 for mowing the yard, but she'd always make cookies. And there was a paddle hanging on the wall, and it engraved in the paddle, it said, this is the Board of Education to be applied to the seat of knowledge. And he said, that hung there the whole time my kids was growing up. And even as a kid, I thought, that makes sense. You know, my daddy sure made me wiser sometimes. And God chastises his people. And sometimes when we talk about the chastisement of God, we think of the severity of a beating. And that's not how it is. Remember, the word chastisement can mean verbal rebuke. And if you read the prophets, if you read the Old Testament, that's where God always begins. He says to Israel, if you're not listening to me, I'm going to send the prophets to talk to you. So he begins with a verbal rebuke. And the whole time he's saying, look, stop this. You know better than this. Come back. And he says, I am your God, and I want to be your God. You're to be my children, but here's my standards. And if you are not living up to those standards, and you spurn my law, and you turn away from me, God said, I will chastise you. You ever heard somebody say that, boy, they really chastised me? I don't hear that very often anymore. When I was a kid, some of the old timers used to say, boy, my wife chastised me last night. Boy, she gave me a tongue lashing. But people don't use that word that way anymore. It's an old word. And it means my wife rebuked me. My wife gave me a tongue whipping, a lashing. And God says in his word that I love you, so I'm going to rebuke you. Hence the title, Charity in Chastisement. God's purpose of chastising his people is love. That's his motivation. And I have talked to Christians through the years as a minister, and I talked about this in Sunday school. They've said, oh, I did this as a Christian, and I'm so ashamed. I just feel terrible. And I say, well, number one, you're not alone. All of us as Christians have fallen short and sinned. And I said, but let me give you a word of encouragement. It's good that you're ashamed. It's good that you feel guilty for what you did, because the Bible says that proves that you're a child of God. Now, I'm not talking about people that's never come to Christ and they say, I have a guilty conscience. That's a whole different story. But I'm talking about those who come to Christ. The Bible says we become enlightened. We are baptized into Christ, buried with Christ. We repent, we confess our sins, and we become enlightened through the person of the Holy Spirit. But we still have that flesh nature, that thing we want to do what we want to do, in spite of the fact we know the Word says not to, and sometimes we'll succumb to that. Sometimes in a moment of weakness, we will do something as a believer, and I mean, you talk about guilt and shame. That is God's chastisement. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. God doesn't leave us there, thank God. And I told my wife before, God's not this sovereign being with a baseball bat sitting on the edge of the throne just waiting for us to mess up. Yeah, you just step out of line one time, I'm going to drill you between the eyes. That's not him at all. When we are baptized into Christ, when we come to Christ, we become one with him. And the Bible says we receive the spirit of adoption whereby we may cry, Abba, Father. We're his kids. And the writer of Hebrews here said, now remember something. Didn't your earthly fathers discipline you? Didn't they chastise you? Oh, yeah. I had an elder at one Bible study when I was a new Christian said, he who spares the rod hates his son. And I said, boy, my daddy loved me because he wasn't a rod sparer. Now, I can say that when I was older looking back. At the time as a child, I didn't think it was love. I thought he's a mean old man. Just enjoyed thumping on me. But when I got older, I actually thanked him. Thank you for teaching me the meaning of the word no. Thank you for teaching me there's consequences to my action. And the Bible says we get the similitude of our parenthood from God. And the writer of Hebrews is speaking here to God's people, and some of them are under chastisement by God, and they're saying, what's up with this? And the writer says, let me encourage you. It's because you're God's child. You remember what he said? If you're without chastisement, you're illegitimate. There are people that know about God, that believe in God, that like the goodness of God's law, but they don't know him. They're not his child. They like the idea of God. They like the idea of living right. But they'll continue to live in willful disobedience against God, with no sense of guilt. And when I've had Christians come and tell me, I said this, and I just felt terrible. One young lady that received Christ here, I was talking to her one day, and she said, oh, I said some cuss words the other day, and I just felt terrible. I said, praise the Lord that you cussed. I said, no, you felt bad, didn't you? I said, before you came to Christ, would that bother you? She said, well, no, that's just the way I talked. I said, but how did you feel when you did it? She said, I felt terrible. I said, you know what that proves? You're God's child. He didn't let you get away with it. God didn't go, oh, isn't that cute? Well, she didn't mean to. She just slipped up. What'd God the Holy Spirit do? Hey, you don't need to use that kind of gutter language. So there's love in chastisement. There's charity in God's chastisement. He's not to destroy us. Now, when you read about his chastisement in the Old Testament, go home and sometime this week read the 26th chapter of Leviticus. Oh, man. There's all these blessings in the law. And then God says, but if you don't listen to me, I'm going to chastise you. Begin with verbal. I'm going to send the prophets. If you don't listen to them, he said, then I'm going to chastise you seven more times. And when you read the chastisements, they get more severe and more severe and more severe. And when I'm reading them, it's just like, good night. Who is stupid enough to go this far into God's punishment and not repent? How stubborn would you have to be to set your feet down and say, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. And yet we do it all the time, don't we? You see, chastisement only works if we receive it. Chastisement, according to the scriptures, is for instruction. Well, you have to receive the instruction in order for it to do what God wants to do with it in your life. Now, I understand that when we as Christians sin, we can confess those sins, repent of those sins, and God says, I'll forgive you, but we still carry the scars. And I think that's a good thing. I really do. We're less apt to do it again. We carry that shame. We carry that guilt and say, well, I did this. And it's at times like that, I believe the enemy sometimes will step up and say, see, you're not a Christian. My gosh, from what I've heard of Christians, a Christian wouldn't do anything like that. Well, you're not my daddy. Not anymore. My daddy done took me to the woodshed over this. You don't have any right to try to take me to the woodshed. You don't have any interest. You don't have any place in my life. But it bothers me. I hear a lot of churches today, when a brother or sister is being chastised by the Holy Spirit, they say, well, that's the devil. That's the devil trying to make you feel guilty. That's the old devil. Be careful about that. You don't want to call the Holy Spirit the spirit of a devil. That does not bode well. Jesus said there's no forgiveness for that in this life or the next. So what do we do when we're chastised? As I said, number one, chastisement proves that we belong to God. The second thing that the writer says, chastisement brings us into his holiness. God's desire is for us to be holy as he is holy. So when he has to correct us, correct a behavior, it's because he wants us to be holy. He's trying to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it takes chastisement to do it. And here's something that it blew me away. Chastisement can come from the world. Jesus told us that. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. That word means anguish and grief, persecution. And you can be chastised by the world, as Pilate chastised Jesus. But what really hurts for me is when I have been chastised by the world and the Holy Spirit says, you know, your attitude really stinks. I lose my temper, I get angry, and I'll spurt off something or I'll think something. And the Spirit of God takes that moment. He wasn't originally the one that was chastising me. It was the world. You know, they chastise you for being too religious. God will chastise you for not being religious enough. We're tired of your religious convictions. And God says, you know, you ain't really living up to those convictions. That is an example of how God can chastise us when the world means it to our harm. And we get offended. And we throw that wall up and say, well, that's just the world, you know. I'm supposed to expect this. But I have had times in my own Christian walk that the Lord will say, by the way, you got a terrible attitude. I said, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. I said, I will take vengeance. See what I'm getting at? That's chastisement. Why is God doing that? To cut me to pieces? No. He's saying, look, son, we need to work on this because I want you to partake of my holiness. God is fair and just even with the unjust. Jesus said he sends rain on the good and the evil. He's never asked us to do anything he doesn't do. When you think about it, it is amazing that God wants anything to do with any of us. And I've looked back over my life, and there's times I think, boy, God, if I was you, I'd have dropped me like a bad habit. Right when I did that, I'd have dropped me. I'd have shut me off. I'd have kicked me out. But thankfully, I'm not God. Jesus had seven letters written to seven churches in Revelation through John. Five of the seven, he had rebukes. Only two of the churches named, Philadelphia and Smyrna, Jesus didn't have any rebukes. He didn't have anything to say against them. In fact, the church of Smyrna, he said, you just got a little bit of power, but you hang on to it. You keep doing what you're doing. Philadelphia, he said, man, I've opened a door for you. They were an evangelistic church, and he said, I've opened some doors. But the rest of the churches, he had rebukes. And the worst one was the church at Laodicea. You're familiar with that. Jesus said, I wish you were hot or cold, but you're not. You're lukewarm. And he said, I'm getting ready to spew you out of my mouth. The Greek there says, vomit you up. Now, that's not very flattering. But then he says to the church, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Same word. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So he says to this one church, you make me sick. I'm getting ready to puke you up. Now, I know that's lewd, and some people say, oh, we'll talk about that. But what's he say in the very next breath? I love you. I love you. This is why I'm saying this to you. I love you. Be zealous. Let that fire build back up within you. Repent. Turn back to me. The whole time that God chastises his children, his end, what he wants for us is to come back. I'm glad that I serve a God that's not afraid to chastise me, to call a spade a spade, to say that's wrong. I don't want you doing that. That attitude's bad. You know, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. I'm glad I serve a God that loves me enough that he'll do that. The Apostle Paul says we are to allow God's chastisement to educate us, to train us, that we might be partakers of his holiness, and that we may experience the peaceable fruits of righteousness. The Corinthian church was having a lot of problems. And Paul was talking about the Lord's Supper in chapter 11. And he was rebuking them. He said, some of you guys are getting drunk. Some of you guys are eating all the bread where there's not enough for everybody to partake. And he said, should I praise you for that? He said, no, I'm not going to praise you. And he reiterated what the communion meal was about. And then Paul said, you know, if we would judge ourselves, God wouldn't have to judge us. But when he does judge us, it's so he doesn't have to condemn us with the world. Chastisement can be painful, humiliating. Jed Clampett, you say it'd make you feel lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. But it's never meant to destroy you or me. Paul said when it comes to the point that God judges us, is because he doesn't want to condemn us with the rest of the world. Read the prophets. Read their message to Israel. Read the warnings to the nation of Israel. Well, we're not under that covenant anymore, brother. No, we're not. Covenant has changed. Yes, it has. Praise God. But God hadn't changed. Because the covenant has changed, God hasn't changed. He will still use the same methods to get a hold of his people. And at the time, it seems, the writer said, there's nothing pleasant about it. When we're in these certain times of God's chastisement. But he said, you can always trust the fact that he does it because he loves you. And he doesn't want to judge you with the world. He wants to be your God. He wants you to be his son or daughter and thus to act like his son or daughter. And so he corrects you. And he corrects me. I've told a lot of Christians when they talk about sins as Christians and the guilt they feel, I've said, that's great. I'm glad to hear that because I've met professed Christians that don't have any remorse. That breaks my heart. Well, our culture's changed. Our norms have changed. But God hasn't. God says, I'm a holy God. I hate sin. I don't want sin in my church. I don't want it in the lives of my people. And when you get into it, I'm going to rebuke you. I'm going to chastise you. Not because I'm trying to destroy you, because I'm trying to lift you up. I'm going to say this is not acceptable. Repent. Change your mind. That's what repent means. Change your mind. Don't fight against me. Come to me. And the prophets, when he would promise the worst kind of punishments, he'd say, but if you humble yourselves and you acknowledge that what you're doing is wrong and you come back to me, he said, I'll be your God. I'll forgive you. Don't resist the chastening of the Lord. I'm speaking as one that's been to the spiritual woodshed more times than I can count in the last 30 some years. But I'm always so thankful when I'm taken there and it's dealt with and I become a better person because of it. Because I know my Father loves me. He loves me so much he won't leave me to myself. If you're here this morning and you have never called out to the name of the Lord, you have never asked for his forgiveness, don't leave here till you do it. What must you do? Repent. Change your mind. The Bible says be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says that I don't. That's not my idea. I'm telling you what the Scripture says. And after that, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. And then the life journey begins. It's a wonderful life. It's a life of peace and security. But sometimes it's a life of punishment. But it ensures that we are God's children. And he's not wanting to leave us to ourselves. God bless you, church.